Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, October 6, 2024, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this morning of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, it was a rough weekend for football. The Rebels lost in overtime to Syracuse. Syracuse, they used to be in the Big East. They've gone to the ACC. And you can't give an excellent program like Syracuse a 14-0 start. We're good, but we're not that good. And they wound up losing in overtime to Syracuse. And then the Montana Grizzlies. Al and Sherry and the Montana Grizzlies, they lost in overtime to Weber State. So the overtime demon was working hard. But there is good news, and this hasn't happened since 1945. Army and Navy are both 5-0 in the same year. That hasn't happened since 1945. They are amazing. Air Force. Air Force having one of their worst years ever. But Army and Navy 5-0. So that's great. And Oregon. Maybe that Oregon makes it all the way. That would be very great. All right. Romans chapter 8. This is where God the Holy Spirit changes the spotlight. And in Romans chapter 8, the Holy Spirit puts the spotlight on the third person of the Trinity. God the Holy Spirit. In verses 1 and 2 we have exegeted, it sounds like this. Therefore, now there is no judgment for the ones who are in Christ Jesus. That means in union with Christ as a result of the baptism of the Spirit. And then verse 2. Because the principle of the Spirit of life, God the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus, has set you free from the principle of the sin nature and death. Now in Romans 8, 2 through 4, we have the believer's inner conflict. And that there's an inner conflict going on inside of every church-age believer, because we're indwelt in our body by the sin natures in the body and the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in our body. So we have the inner conflict in the church-age believer. So the key to interpretation of Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 is the divorce analogy. And this is taught in the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit, which includes retroactive positional truth. We are identified with Christ in his death and burial. And current positional truth, we are identified with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of God the Father. At salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, the believer is divorced from the sin nature, the first husband, and married to the Lord Jesus Christ, the second husband. This divorce means that positionally, the power of the sin nature has been broken. But experientially, he is very much alive in our body. Salvation by faith in Jesus Christ is the moment of our divorce or being set free from the first husband, the sin nature. And when you divorce someone, you are dead to that person. The sin nature is still very much alive, even though the divorce is tantamount to death. So there exists a perpetual antagonism between the first husband, the sin nature, and the agent who frees us, and that is God the Holy Spirit. The believer's body is indwelt by both the sin nature and God the Holy Spirit. And they are in a conflict with each other. Galatians 5, 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul summarizes what he's teaching now in Romans 8. Galatians 5, 16 and 17, so I say, or declare, walk by the Spirit. Live your life by the power of God the Holy Spirit, and you will not gratify the lust patterns of the sin nature. For the sin nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sin nature. They are at war with each other so that you do not do what you want. So in Galatians 5, 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul pulls together everything he's been teaching here in Romans 8. When the Holy Spirit controls the soul of the church age believer, this is called the filling of the Spirit. And that is put in the imperative mood. That's a command. Ephesians 5:18, keep on being filled, keep on being empowered by the Spirit. And when the sin nature controls the soul, that is called carnality and or reversionism, and we saw that in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. When the sin nature controls the soul, the Bible says you are grieving the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30. And we are commanded, stop grieving the Spirit. Or you are quenching the Holy Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 and 20. So the soul of the believer is the battleground for this conflict between the sin nature and God the Holy Spirit. As an unbeliever, the sin nature had complete authority and ruled as a tyrant through spiritual death. The husband's authority is now canceled through the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth, which is the divorce procedure analogy. With the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, You're now, that's living the power to live the spiritual life God has for us in the church age. The soul is then controlled by God, the Holy Spirit. That's the objective, to live the spiritual life by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. The spiritual life is a supernatural way of life, demands supernatural power for its execution. That supernatural power is God, the Holy Spirit. So now, in Romans 8:3, Paul gives us the limitation of the Mosaic Law as a marriage counselor. Now, the Mosaic Law was given to us by God. There's nothing wrong with the Mosaic Law. It's just that it's limited in its purpose and how God intended it to be used. So the limitation of the Mosaic Law as a marriage counselor is given in verse 3. For what the law could not do. Now that phrase, we start with the King James. For what the law, Mosaic Law, could not do. In other words, the Mosaic Law, it came from God. Yes, it is honorable. It's great. It's wonderful because it comes from God. Nothing wrong with the law. But it has limitations. And we have, in this phrase, the postpositive conjunction gar plus the nominative singular neuter of the adjective adunitas with the definite article plus the genitive singular of namas with the definite article. The postpositive conjunction gar looks like this in the Greek. G-A-R, gar. And this is an explanatory gar and is correctly translated for. And then we have adunitas. Adunitas. A-D-U-N-A-T-O-S. Now, adunitas, a couple of things on this. First of all, one, this is a compound adjective. A compound adjective. We have here, first of all, the alpha privative, P-R-I-V, not primitive, the alpha privative, and that negates, that's the word no. And then adunitas comes from dunamai and dunamis, and that's where we get the word dynamite in our English vocabulary, and this is the word for power. So adunitas, point two, therefore adunitas means no power. No power. Three, as an adjective, it means powerless. It means powerless or inability as an adjective. But it's not used as an adjective here because we have a definite article with it. Just one second here. And we have a definite article. So point four, when you have a definite article with the adjective becomes a substantive, and that means it's a noun. And it's correctly translated impossible, or what was impossible. And then we have the word namas, and that's the our buddy, the Mosaic Law. N-O-M-O-S. That's the word law here. It's used specifically for the Mosaic Law. Or what was impossible for the Mosaic Law. And then we have in that it was weak. Nothing wrong with the Mosaic Law, but it's limited to what God intended it to do. In that it was weak through the flesh. And this is the preposition and plus the dative singular of the relative pronoun host plus the imperfect active indicative of os, the neo, plus the preposition dia plus the genitive singular of sarx with a definite article. Now, Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 261, tells us that in our verse, Romans 8:3, the preposition and with the dative singular of the relative pronoun host is causal. It's a causal, and it should be correctly translated because it was weak. Because it was weak. And then we have the verb asthenao. A-S-T-H-E-N-E, long O, asthenao. Now, asthenao means to be weak or to be powerless. Asthenao refers to weakness of any kind, but dia plus the genitive, you have through. Arnton Gingrich again says on pages 179 and 80, is causal, should be translated because of, and then sarx is the word for literally flesh, but it's used by Paul for the sin nature. S-A-R-K-S. So literally it's flesh. This is the word used for the sin nature over and over again by the Apostle Paul. So we have corrected translation. For what was impossible for the Mosaic law, because it was weak, because of the flesh, the sin nature. All right. So, we need to get a couple of things here. You need to understand, point one, that the Mosaic law is limited. There are limitations to the Mosaic law. It's great, it's perfect, it comes from God, there's nothing wrong with it, but it has limitations. So here we have the limitations of the Mosaic law. First of all, underneath point one, it's not an instrument of salvation. It's not an instrument of salvation. No one is going to be in heaven because you're keeping the works of the law. That's a false gospel. That's salvation by works, and salvation is not by works. For by grace, grace means God does the work and we receive the benefit. For by grace you were saved through faith. And this salvation is not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So God has given us the basis of salvation is grace. God does all the work. God the Father planned salvation. God the Son executed on the cross. God the Holy Spirit revealed it to us. You are not, no one's going to be in heaven because of their works. And the Mosaic Law and trying to keep the works of the Mosaic Law, that summarizes every false gospel of salvation by works. No one has ever been saved by works or keeping the works of the Mosaic Law. That's man distorting what God's provided. Now, God provided the Mosaic Law. That's great. Man has distorted that into a system of salvation. And that's distortion. That's a false gospel. And no one will be in heaven by trying to keep the works of the law. So what God provides is perfect, but man takes something God provides as perfect and distorts it into a false gospel. So the limitations of the Mosaic Law, first of all, it's not an instrument of salvation. Subpoint two, it cannot provide justification. Now when we say justification, the Greek word for justification is dikaiō. Looks like that in the Greek. That's D-I-K-A-I-O, long O. Dikaiō. Now, we get from this dikaiosune, righteousness. Dikaios, righteous, that's the adjective. Dikaiō means to declare one to be righteous. That's what justification means. You are declared to be righteous. You have the righteousness of God. And how do you have the righteousness of God and declared to be righteous? By faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. So it cannot provide justification. And the Apostle Paul summarizes this, and I think one of the great passages that is so powerful is Galatians 2:16. In Galatians 2:16, Paul writes, "Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified, not declared righteous by the works of the law." You see, this is pretty clear. I think we can all get this one. A man is not declared righteous by the works of the law. But how? Through faith in Christ Jesus. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified, declared righteous by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. Since by the works of the Mosaic law shall no flesh, no member of humanity be justified or declared righteous. Now, very clear. Now, Paul not only taught there, he taught it in Romans 2. Turn over to Romans chapter 3. Not Romans 2, but Romans also. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 20, "Because by the works of the law, no flesh, no member of the human race will be justified, declared righteous in his sight. For through the Mosaic law comes the knowledge of sin." The law has a purpose. Codex number 1 says, hey, you got a problem. You're sinners. You got a problem. And then in verse 28, "For we maintain that a man is justified, declared righteous by faith apart from the works of the law." And then turn over to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, let's start at verse 38. Acts 13, verse 38. "Therefore, my brethren, fellow believers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is justified, declared righteous from everything you could not be declared righteous by the law of Moses." Okay? The Mosaic law does not result in you being justified or declared righteous. So this is, again, great. I love this. "Through him, everyone who believes is justified, declared righteous from everything you could not be declared righteous, could not be justified by the law of Moses." And then turn over to Philippians 3. Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verse 9, "And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law," the Mosaic law, the works of the law, "but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith," not by works, "faith in Jesus Christ." So, limitations of the Mosaic law: it's not an instrument of salvation. Secondly, it does not provide justification. Third, it cannot give life. It cannot give life. Turn over to Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians Galatians chapter 3, verse 21. Is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law, the works of the law. But the Scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin, so that what was promised being given through faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Not works, faith in Jesus Christ. So it cannot give life, Galatians 3, 21 and 22. It cannot provide the indwelling and filling of the Spirit. It cannot provide the indwelling and filling of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 3, and this is, the Apostle Paul was really, he was fun. I mean, he's a super genius, but he had sanctified sarcasm. And sometimes he just presented that sanctified sarcasm. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, by works, by keeping the works of the Mosaic Law, or by believing what you heard, by faith? Faith in Jesus Christ and faith in the Word of God, by grace. Are you so foolish? And that's a very nice word. Euphemistic. I would throw in other words, but are you so stupid? Stupido. Are you so foolish after beginning with the Spirit? Are you now trying to attain your goal, spiritual maturity, by human effort, human works? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you keep the works of the law, or because you believe what you heard, the grace and truth of the Word of God? So it cannot provide the indwelling and filling of the Spirit, Galatians 3, 1 to 5. And it cannot solve the problem of the sin nature, and that's our verse, Romans 8, 3. So the Mosaic Law has limitations. Point two, the Mosaic Law was never designed to be an instrument of salvation or spirituality or to attain spiritual maturity. The Mosaic Law was never designed to be an instrument for salvation or spirituality or to attain spiritual maturity. Three, the Mosaic Law is weak because of the sin nature. At physical birth, the old sin nature is the target for the real imputation of Adam's original sin, which resulted in our spiritual death. We are born at physical birth, physically alive, but spiritually dead. Four, it is impossible for the Mosaic Law to solve mankind's problem of spiritual death. It is impossible for the Mosaic Law to solve mankind's problem of spiritual death. Five, as the marriage counselor when we were an unbeliever, as the marriage counselor of the unbeliever, all the Mosaic Law can do is advise the unbeliever that he has a very bad marriage to the sin nature, that he is in spiritual death. And then the Mosaic Law can point to the solution, the Lord Jesus Christ. So as the marriage counselor of the unbeliever, all the Mosaic Law can do is advise the unbeliever that he has a bad marriage to the sin nature. He is in spiritual death, and then he can point to the solution, Jesus Christ. 6. Therefore, the Mosaic Law advises the unbeliever that he has a problem. Hello, Houston, we have a problem. Hello, mankind, we have a problem. And that's what the Mosaic Law says. And that's Codex number one. Codex number one says we have a problem. We're sinners. All of us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. So we have a problem. And the Mosaic Law and Codex number one points out the fact that we are all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have a problem. Then the Mosaic Law points to the solution, and that's Codex number two. So Codex number one, we are all sinners, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and then Codex number two points to Jesus Christ, the solution. 7. The distortion occurs when man tries to keep the works of the law for salvation, or for spirituality, or for spiritual maturity. The problem is not with God, and the problem is not with the Mosaic Law. The problem is with man distorting the Mosaic Law. Man has distorted it into something God never intended it to do. So the distortion occurs when man tries to keep the works of the law for salvation or for spirituality or for spiritual maturity, and God never intended the Mosaic Law to do that. That's man's problem, not God's problem. God's perfect. The Mosaic Law is perfect. But man has distorted it to do something God never intended it to do. 8. Now, in the rest of verse 3, God did what it was impossible for the Mosaic Law to do. So now in the rest of Romans 8, verse 3, God accomplished God accomplished what it was impossible for the Mosaic Law to do. That is, he sent his own Son from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas, the greatest miracle that the world will ever know. When God the Father sent his eternal Son from heaven to earth to take on true humanity. Why? To go to a cross. Why? To solve the world's problem of sin. So now, in the rest of verse 3, God accomplishes what it was impossible for the Mosaic Law to do. He sent his own Son from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas. Secondly, through the incarnation and virgin birth, the eternal Son of God took on true humanity so that he could go to a cross. Deity can't die. He had to take on true humanity so he could go to the cross and solve the world's problem of sin. And then third, on the cross, God the Father poured out the sins of the world on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then God the Father judged those sins in Jesus Christ once and for all. And then fourth, as a result of that, now anyone, any place, anywhere can receive eternal salvation by simply believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Okay. So the corrected translation says, for what was impossible for the Mosaic law, because it was weak, because of the flesh, the sin nature, now God accomplishes what it was impossible for the Mosaic law to do. The rest of the verse. Now God accomplishes what it was impossible for the Mosaic law to do. God sending His own Son. We have the nominative singular of theos with the definite article, plus the aorist active participle of pempo, plus the accusative singular of huios with the definite article, plus the reflexive pronoun hey out to. All right, we start out with ha theos. Ha is the definite article, literally the, and this is theos, T-H-E-O-S, the God is God the Father, the first person of the Trinity, the God, God the Father. So, one, God the Father did what the Mosaic law could not do. God the Father did what the Mosaic law could not do. Two, God the Father is the author of the plan of salvation. Operation Grace, the cross. God the Father is the author of the plan of salvation. Operation Grace. And this is a perfect class to have this Sunday morning because this is Communion Sunday. So this is a perfect class. God the Holy Spirit knows what He's doing. And I'm teaching all these classes, Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And I'll tell you, I look and I see, this is the perfect time to be teaching these doctrines right now in America. God the Father did what the Mosaic law could not do. God the Father is the author of the plan of salvation, Operation Grace, the cross. Three, God the Father's plan of salvation provides the solution to mankind's problem of spiritual death and sin. God the Father's plan of salvation provides the solution to mankind's problem of spiritual death and sin. And then we have the verb pempo. P-E-M-P-long-O. Pempo. Now pempo means to send, literally to send. And this refers to a very important doctrine of the Word of God. Procession. It refers to the procession of the eternal Son of God from heaven to earth to accomplish God the Father's plan of salvation, Operation Grace, the cross. The aorist tense is a constative aorist viewing the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ in its entirety. The active voice, God the Father, performed the action of the verb sending His eternal Son from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas. The participle is circumstantial, means. This participle tells the means by which the action of the finite verb is carried out. And then we have huios. Looks like that. When you see that mark there, that's like a mouth. Breathing over the... So that's the letter H. So you got H-U-I-O-S. That's the letter H in the Greek. Huios. And Huios is the Son, and the Son is the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son. And then we have the reflexive pronoun heautou. H-E-A-U-T-O-U, heautou, reflexive pronoun, His own Son. Corrected translation. For what was impossible for the Mosaic law, because it was weak, because of the flesh, God the Father, accomplished by sending His own Son, the procession of God the Son, from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas, in the likeness of sinful flesh. This is the preposition en plus the dative singular of homoioma, plus the genitive singular of sarx, with the genitive singular of hamartia. The preposition en is in, correctly translated in, and then we have a very important word here, homoioma. Looks like that in the Greek, H-O-M-O-I, long O-M-A. Homoioma. Very important now. It means likeness. Likeness. And then we have the genitive singular of sarx, referring to the human body. But it has with it the genitive singular of hamartia, of sin. So this says, in the likeness of sinful flesh. Likeness is very important. Jesus Christ, in the likeness of sinful flesh, he took on true humanity. True humanity. He's undiminished deity and true humanity, united in one person forever. Likeness emphasizes the true humanity of Jesus Christ. But make sure you understand, he was not have anything to do with sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, and we studied this in detail, impeccable, impeccable, sinless perfection. The Lord Jesus Christ in his true humanity was sinless perfection. And when he lived his life here on this earth, he never committed even one sin, not one sin. He was impeccable. And therefore qualified to go to the cross and be our Savior. To be qualified, he had to be impeccable. So that word likeness is very important here. For what was impossible for the Mosaic law, because it was weak, because of the flesh, God the Father, accomplished by sending his own Son, the procession of God the Son from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas, the first Advent, in the likeness of sinful flesh. True humanity. He took on true humanity. Why did he take on true humanity? So he could go to a cross and solve the world problem of sin. And then we have, and for sin. We have the conjunction chi plus the prepositional phrase peri plus the genitive singular of hamartia. The conjunction chi is continuative, is correctly translated and. And now we have peri, the preposition peri. P-E-R-I, peri. This is very important now. Literally, it means about or concerning. Once again, Arndt and Gingrich, The Greek Lexicon, page 650, says that when peri is used with the noun hamartia, which it is in our verse, then it means to take away or to atone for. To take away or to atone for. And this is the judicial imputation of all the personal sins of the world to Jesus Christ on the cross and their judgment. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's exactly what's being said here. The Lord Jesus Christ became the sin offering that accomplished unlimited atonement, paying the penalty for the sins of the whole world. For what was impossible for the Mosaic law, because it was weak, because of the flesh, God the Father, accomplished by sending His own Son, the procession of God the Son, from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas, first Advent, in the likeness of sinful flesh, to atone for sin. Unlimited atonement to solve the world problem of sin. All right. Well, we got a little bit more. This is a humdinger of a verse, this verse 3. So you have to come back next week we'll pick it up from here and go on, but we're going to take a break because next we have the Lord's table. Very important. All right, we'll take a break and then the Lord's table.